Chapter 7. Evangeline and I ducked inside the fabric entrance of the tent, and I licked my lips as desire dried my tongue. Her ass bounced seductively with each move she made, but that only further drove me toward the edge of my self-control. I wanted her, and the tight pants restricting my movement was more than evidence of that, but I wanted to take my time, too. I wanted to please my wife just as much as she wanted to please me, so I knew we would both be feeling wonderful before the night was over.
I miss our king-sized bed back home,
Eva said, as she laid down on the sleeping roll and began to shed her layers of clothing. It's just a blip away, I pointed out, and I paused in my removal of clothing items to flash her a quizzical look. Wanna fast travel to Bastionville to make love?
Oh, gosh, can we?
Eva's smoky gray eyes lit up with delight, and she hugged her knees against her chest.
I miss being home already, but with your fast travel ability, it's never very far away.
Just take my hand, I said, and I reached out my hand, palm up.
Okay.
Eva breathed as she accepted, and I pulled her back to her feet before I began the fast travel magic ritual. The glowing blue aura surrounded us, and then we dematerialized into nothing but molecules.
Bloop.
We arrived in Bastionville an instant later, and Alyssa giggled as we materialized in front of her. The redhead took in our skewed clothes and the smeared rouge on Eva's lips, and understanding dawned on her face.
Oh, welcome home, husband,
the beautiful redhead said as she bounced our daughter in her arms.
To what do I owe the honor of this visit?
Eva and I wanted to visit the bedroom, I said with a devilish smile, but I still took a moment to press a kiss against my wife and daughter's foreheads. I'll come spend some time with you when we're done.
Take your time,
Alyssa said, and she wiggled her fingers over her shoulder in farewell as she headed into the kitchen with Serena in her arms.
I'll be around down here until the little one falls asleep, but that always takes forever.
Thanks, I grinned.
Oh, I can't wait to squeeze that little baby girl again,
Eva added as we parted ways. Then Evangeline and I went to the stairs, and we climbed to the second floor where my bedchambers laid. Our feet clicked on the stone floor, and a cool breeze came in through an open window at the end of the hall. Then the door clicked closed behind us, and I took a moment to light a few candles. But when I turned back around, Eva had completely removed all of her clothes already. Her outfit laid in a neat little pile at her feet. But I only gave the items a flash of thought before my attention returned to my seductress wife. Whoa. I let out a low whistle of appreciation. Ooh, fuck, you're sexy. Eva purred as her smoky gray eyes filled with lust.
Just for you.
Oh, all mine? I grinned as I crossed the distance to my naked wife.
All yours.
She confirmed with a small nod. Then our lips met, and I cradled her head in my hands as she tilted her face ever so slightly to give me full access to her mouth. Her hands leapt to my crotch, and she rubbed my hard on through my pants. But I stepped back and flashed her a mischievous smile. I wanted to make this last as long as possible, and that meant delaying my own gratification. As well as hers. It would be worth it in the end, though. Of that, I was certain. Slow down. I'm going to take my time with you. I made a new safe point as I stared at her nude beauty, and my gaze gently raked over her pale thighs, fuzzy blonde mound, toned but growing stomach, and up to her perfectly perky breasts. Eva was beautiful and perfect, and I was lucky to be able to call her mine. Then I crossed the small amount of distance between us once more, and I stroked her shaggy blonde locks away from her forehead before I pressed a kiss between her eyebrows.
I love you, Bash.
Eva shivered beneath me, and I could see her heart beating strongly in the hollow of her throat. Oh, I love you, Eva, I murmured, and I pressed kisses around her temples, on the bridge of her nose, and on her chin. Then I batted my eyelashes against her cheek in a butterfly kiss, and I breathed warmly on her earlobe.
I think you're wearing too many clothes, though. Time to strip,
yes, ma'am, I chuckled. I stood back with a teasing smile on my face as I slowly removed my shirt, but Eva's eyes widened with pleasure when my pants fell to the floor. My erection stood at full attention, and I was so hard I could have hung a wet towel from my rod. Eva walked forward with swaying hips, but she never took her eyes off mine. And once she'd crossed the distance between us, she clasped one hand firmly around my girth and stroked me up and down. Yes, I moaned as I leaned into the sensation.
This is nothing.
Eva giggled before she lowered herself to her knees. Oh, fuck yes. I groaned once her lips wrapped around the head of my cock, but I only let her please me for a short time before I pulled her head back up and kissed her wet, sloppy lips. I want to pleasure you too.
Pleasing you pleases me, Bash.
Eva argued as she tried to go back to her kneeling position. All right. I chuckled, and this time I didn't stop her. Evangeline sucked my dick between her lips like a vacuum inhaling dirt from a crevice, and I hissed with pleasure as I saw stars in my vision. Her tongue was doing some spectacular waves up and down my length, but then she took it all deep in her throat, and I groaned with delight. Oh, Eve, yes. Oh, that feels so good. Eva muttered while my girth made her cheeks bulge. I was about to explode deep inside her throat, so I pulled her to her feet yet again, and she didn't fight me this time. I kissed her passionately, and then I reached down and lifted her legs into my arm while cradling her back with the other. Then I carried my blonde wife across the room to the bed, and I plopped her down onto the mattress with a devilish smile twisting my lips. Her tits bounced from the movement, and she squealed as she skittered across the bed.
Come here,
she commanded as she smacked the bed beside her. As you wish, I growled, and I crawled from the edge toward her on all fours. But once I was close enough, I grabbed her foot and planted kisses from toe to ankle. Then I took her other foot in hand as well, and I kissed both of them until Eva's breathing began to hitch. My wife was enjoying this, I could tell. I took my time on her feet before I shifted to her shins and knees, and I caressed her legs with my fingertips like I was brushing a feather across her flesh. I swirled my digits and lips in concentric circles, but I drew closer and closer to my target.
Bash.
Eva whimpered as goosebumps rose along her legs.
Oh, it feels so good.
Oh, I haven't even gotten started yet, I said as I breathed on her inner thigh. I inched my way closer and closer to her pussy, and the blonde beauty opened her thighs to me. Then I dipped my tongue in experimentally, and she hissed with pleasure. So I lowered my mouth and got to work. She was ready for a climax, but I was going to make her work for it a little. I built up the tension slowly, and each time it felt like Evangeline was getting close to an orgasm, I would slow down and pull back ever so slightly until she calmed back down. I wanted to give her a huge volcanic eruption-style climax, and I knew just how to do it. After endless lifetimes experimenting with all my beautiful women, I knew exactly how to set each one of them off. Evangeline liked to be restricted from orgasming until she couldn't stand it any longer, and then she would explode like a volcano. The moment built and built until even I thought I might not be able to stand it anymore, but her whimpers quickly gained intensity. Eva gasped as she arched her back toward the sensation.
Yes!
Oh, do you like that? I asked as I pulled back once more. Eva panted, and she glanced down at me with eyes brimming with need.
Please, Bash, make me come.
As you wish, I said again, since I couldn't resist quoting a line from one of the best movies of all time whenever I could. I drove my tongue against her note of pleasure with intensity, and Evangeline clasped the sheets in tight fists as she arched her back toward me. Her hips lifted, and I reached underneath her to grasp her ass cheeks in both hands. Then I brought her honeypot to my lips like I was licking it straight from the container.
Yes, yes, yes!
Eva moaned as the orgasm overpowered her, but I didn't relent until I could feel her entire body begin to shiver. Her legs started to shake and her hips began to wiggle, and then she rubbed her crevice against my face as though begging for more. Eva's juices flowed like lava, and I lapped them up like melted ice cream. When her breathing finally returned to normal, I kneeled between her legs and rubbed some of her juices across my length. Then I leaned forward, nudged up against her entrance, and slid inside her in one long thrust.
Oh, Bash!
Eva gasped once my full length was buried inside her wet tunnel. Oh, Eva. I moaned, but then I pulled back to thrust inside her once more. Oh, I've missed you so much.
Oh, you're filling me up.
Eva's eyes rolled back into her head. I grabbed her thighs and moved her ankles to my shoulders as I continued to pound into her over and over again. But then I drove my cock as deep as it would reach. I wrapped my arms around my beautiful wife, and I held her close against me as I pulsed my cock in and out of her tight little tunnel. You feel incredible. I murmured in her ear before I nibbled on her lobes, and I could already feel my need building in my loins.
I feel good.
Evangeline bit her lip and batted her eyelashes at me. Amazing. I can't get enough of it. I already knew I was going to reset to relive this experience over and over again, and ideas were already beginning to form in my imagination. But in the meantime, I had this moment itself to enjoy fully. Roll over, I instructed, and I leaned back to give her room to reposition herself.
Yes, Bash.
Eva said immediately, and she flipped over onto her stomach before she wiggled her ass in the air. Good girl. I complimented as I spanked her ass with a flat hand. I pulled her ass cheeks apart with one hand while I gripped my slippery cock with the other, but I was inside her again a moment later, and we both hissed with pleasure as I slid all the way in. I fucked her from behind as her ass cheeks pressed against my loins, and I planted kisses across her shoulders and the nape of her neck before I took a fistful of her short blonde hair into my fist and gripped it tightly. With a firm grasp of her head, I directed her movements until she was curved upward, with her ass cheeks squeezed together, and the resulting sensation on my cock was amazing. Soon I felt my balls begin to tingle with the need to release my seed, but I wanted to change positions again first, so I redirected Evangeline on top of me, cowgirl style. Her belly was growing ever so slightly, so I could see the bump below her belly button as she leaned back, and I imagined our child growing inside her. Evangeline would soon become a mother, and I had total confidence in her ability to raise a wonderful son or daughter. I held her breasts in my hands as I pushed her downward onto my cock even harder, and I thrust upward inside her as she clung to my chest. Her hips rocked and rolled in a circular motion, and I groaned as I struggled to contain my need.
Oh, come with me, Bash!
Eva urged as her walls started to flutter around my shaft.
Oh, fill me up with your seed!
I exploded without hesitation at her words, and the resulting eruption resembled an out-of-control fire hose spraying in every direction. My wife cried out as she came with me, and she bucked her hips again and again just to wring me dry. Then I fell back in exhaustion as I struggled to maintain my breathing, but Evangeline cuddled up on my chest and let out a contented sigh.
Oh, that was amazing.
Oh, it's gonna be so much better next time.
Next time?
The now familiar frown of confusion graced my wife's face, but I merely grinned as I reset back to my save point.
Ding!
I pushed her back against the wall to eat her out while she remained standing up, and her juices flowed over my face like a waterfall. Then I made sweet, affectionate love to her in every corner of the bedchamber.
Ding!
I fucked her roughly until she was begging me to come.
Ding! Ding! Ding!
I performed every imaginable sex act on my beautiful wife, and I left her writhing in a helpless puddle at the end of every run-through. Once she was panting for oxygen and dripping with my seed, I let her take a break. But it wasn't long before I pulled her against me once more.
Ding!
I bent her over the desk, the bed, the bathtub, and everywhere in between.
Ding!
I had her ride me in a chair by the window so the light could illuminate her pale skin, and I stared at the glow of her flesh as she bobbed up and down on my dick.
Ding!
Finally, I was satisfied with the number of orgasms I'd given her, and I fell asleep with Evangeline on my chest. It was a good end to a long day, but I was eager to finish my excavation of the catacombs in the oasis. There were answers there, I just knew it. The next morning, I woke up to find Evangeline missing, so I went in search of my family. I found Alyssa and Mahini in the kitchen preparing a morning meal, but Eva was nowhere to be found. My red-headed wife cradled our daughter in her arms, and I eagerly took my child from her mother to rock her myself. Serena's gemstone eyes were softly closed as the baby snored peacefully, but I had a feeling there was a reason she wasn't in her crib.
She wakes up when we try to lay her down,
Mahini explained in an exhausted tone.
We've been taking turns laying down while the other holds the babe.
Oh, let me give you both a break. I'll hold on to Serena for a while, and the rest of you can relax for a bit.
Thank you, Bash.
Alyssa sighed, and the tired mother stood on her tiptoes to kiss me on the cheek.
Oh, I was making you some breakfast, but as soon as that's done, I'll go and lay down.
Hey, no, don't worry. I'll finish up breakfast. I grinned. You go rest.
Oh, thank you, husband.
Alyssa gave me another smile and one last kiss before she left the kitchen.
I'm going to go do some training,
Mahini said, and she patted her own stomach.
Our little man is going to be a lot of hard work. I can already tell he enjoys training.
Oh, a little warrior, I said, and my smile turned to one of pride as I considered the baby Mahini carried in her womb. She would be the next to give birth, but now that her mother, Aranini, was in town, my worries were minimal.
Certainly.
Mahini smiled wide, and I enjoyed the rare expression of joy on the stoic warrior woman's face, but it was short-lived.
I hope I see you again before you return to the desert.
I'll come say goodbye, at least, I promised. But then the desert goddess waved goodbye and headed off to her training session. Evangeline entered the kitchen a moment later, and she walked with both her hands held protectively over her stomach. Is everything okay? I asked as a worried frown creased my brow.
Everything is fine, Bash,
Eva assured me. But then she saw where my gaze went, and she giggled.
Oh, the baby is doing great. I just came from a prenatal appointment with Aranini.
Oh, that's fantastic, I grinned. I'm glad you had time to do that while we were here.
Me too,
Eva smirked.
She said we are both developmentally right on target. The baby will come in the spring, a few months after Mahini's.
I crossed the distance to her and placed my hand over her belly. But then I felt a kick from inside her womb. My eyes widened as my gaze leapt to Eva's face, but she merely nodded in understanding. Whew, our baby was strong. What do you see their life being like? I asked as I walked around the kitchen and finished preparing the breakfast the girls had started. Evangeline picked up on my intentions, and the Duke's daughter quickly stepped in to help me with the food and Serena.
I see it being very similar to how Alyssa grew up,
Eva said after a moment.
Not like my childhood, with all the rules and restrictions, but something better than how Mahini and Kalia lived as children.
The infant still slept peacefully in my arms, but I kept glancing down at her as though that would change at any second. Whatever she chose to do, wake up or stay asleep, I was just happy to be with her. There was no way in hell I would ever let anything bad happen to the angel in my arms. And a fierce feeling of protectiveness washed over me as I considered her sleeping form.
Let me take the baby,
Eva suggested as she held out her arms.
The food is ready. You should eat.
All right, I agreed, and I transferred the baby to her arms. But then it'll be your turn to eat next.
Well, that's more than fair,
Eva giggled. But then the baby began to fuss and wiggle in her arms, so the blonde gave the infant her full attention. I ate while she rocked Serena back and forth, but I was eager to have my baby in my arms again. So Once I'd finished my meal, I quickly accepted the babe again to let Eva eat her food. The baby fussed while we moved her from Eva to me, but the second she looked up into my eyes, Serena calmed down immediately. "Hey, there's Daddy's girl. Go back to sleep for your mommies, okay? Daddy'll be right here." After breakfast was finished, Eva helped me wrap Serena up in thicker blankets, and the three of us headed out into Bastionville to check on the townsfolk. I found everything to be in order, and I was on my way back to the castle when I was hailed by Jaxtum. The blacksmith waved in a friendly manner as I approached, and we clasped forearms once we were within reach of each other.
"How fares the desert?"
he growled in his low baritone voice. "It's going well, although we just fought off these almost impossible-to-kill beasts called the Morrago."
Never heard of them,"
the blacksmith said with a shrug. "They look like they're made out of mirrors. Their only weakness is a teardrop shape of glass on the nape of their necks."
"Did the God of Time actually have a challenge?"
Jax threw back his head and let out a loud belly laugh. "Actually, yes. Those fuckers were hard to deal with, but it was fun to have something to be a real obstacle for once. Things have been so easy it's gotten boring lately."
"Yeah, I feel that."
Jax clapped me on the shoulder so hard it nearly knocked me over.
"Married life is not quite what I expected it to be."
"Everything okay?" I frowned.
Oh, of course. I just mean I ain't used to no woman doing things for me I used to do myself."
Serena woke up and began to fuss, and Jaxtum stopped mid-sentence to wiggle his fingers in her line of sight. The little baby reached up and grabbed the blacksmith's digit, and a coo of delight burst from her lips.
"Oh, she likes you. You'll have to stop by the house to visit her in my absence."
"Oh, I've been. Toria likes to give the girls a break every once in a while, and I like playing with little Serena here."
"Well, that's good. Oh, that makes me feel a lot better about leaving my family behind to go solve problems in the desert. It's time for me to take her home now, but I'll see you next time I come back."
"Oh, you better!"
Jax clapped me on the shoulder again, but this time I was ready for it, so I didn't topple forward.
"We all miss you when you're gone."
"Oh, I don't doubt it," I grinned. "Later, Jax." We went back to the castle after that, and Mahini was yawning as she came down the stairs, but Alyssa was looking much more alert as she waited in the foyer.
"It's about time you brought my baby back. I've missed her."
"Me too. I could barely train, let alone sleep. I just kept wondering if she was okay."
"Hey, the two of you need to make sure you're taking care of each other. I can't have one of you crashing from exhaustion while I'm gone."
"Yes, Bash."
Mahini nodded solemnly.
"I'll do a better job of asking for help.
And I'll do better at letting other people hold Serena. So many people offer to help, but it's hard to let her leave my arms."
"Good girls," I said with a smile, and I handed over my daughter to her mother. After we said our final goodbyes, Evangeline and I joined hands, and I returned both of us to the desert.
Bloop.
It was mid-morning, and the camp was being torn down so we could continue on our quest to reach the oasis where the catacombs were. I hailed Jorgen and Corvus on my way to see Zenda and Kalia, but Nameless flew down to land on my shoulders before I caught up to them. The little dragon was roughly the size of a pit bull now, and he crowded my neck with his bulk. It wouldn't be much longer before he couldn't ride on me at all, so I tried to enjoy it while I could.
"Bash, you're back."
Zenda greeted with a broad smile that lit up her sapphire blue eyes.
"We were worried when we didn't find you in the tent, but then I thought you most likely returned to Bastionville."
"Yep, you were right. And sorry if I took too long. I spent some time with Alyssa, Mahini, and Serena while I was in town."
"How is the baby?"
Kalia asked, as she balanced a basket of food on one hip.
"I bet she's already gotten bigger, hasn't she?"
"Growing like a weed. I took her on a little walk this morning. It was nice to get her out and about while the girls rested."
"I'm sure she loved having time with her father. I remember walking with my father. He'd teach me history lessons and about the different fish we saw in the Eastern Ocean."
"I want to be the best damn father in the world. But so far, Serena makes it pretty easy. Well, she's a daddy's girl for sure."
"Why wouldn't she be? With a god for a father, her life is guaranteed to be amazing."
"Yeah,
True, I smirked. We spent the rest of the day traveling, but we didn't make much progress before striking camp again. The oasis still lay ahead of us, but it would take several more days of travel to reach it. The further we got from the coast, the fewer life forms we saw, and soon, sand was all that the eye could see. We'd been traveling for multiple days when I called for a halt for the night. We would reach the oasis very soon, but it wouldn't do any good to push my companions any further that day. I made a new safe point as the caravan stopped and began to unload, and then I made my way to my commanding officers.
"All right, we'll stop here for the night," I said to Jorgen and Corvus.
"Set up watch shifts and secure the perimeter."
"Yes, sir,"
the two men said in unison before setting about their tasks. I lit the bonfire and ignited some torches to be placed around the camp at various intervals, and soon the tents were awash in a warm orange glow from the flames. I fed Nameless his dinner of raw meat, and I settled in to eat my own meal with my women and friends by my side.
"Tell us a story of Earth,"
Zenda requested as the fire crackled against the dried scat we had to burn as fuel. We'd all gotten accustomed to the smell associated with burning the animal poop, but I missed the sweet odor of cedar wood burning. "All right. I told you about the three little pigs and the big bad wolf. But the pigs aren't the only enemy the wolf made."
"It is uncommon for wolves to hunt alone,"
Zenda pointed out in a scholarly tone.
"Perhaps the second story regards a different wolf in the pack."
Yeah, it's possible," I shrugged. "But in this story, the wolf gets what's coming to him." I proceeded to tell the story of Little Red Riding Hood and the Big Bad Wolf, and I had everyone enthralled as I spoke first in one language and then another, so everyone in the camp could understand. They were all on the edge of their seats as I described the tricks the wolf tried to play on the little girl, but then they cheered when the lumberjack killed the wolf and freed the grandmother from its stomach. We all took turns telling stories from our childhoods as the fire slowly burned through its fuel. But then I lost myself in thought as I stared into the flames of the bonfire, and I couldn't help feeling grateful for the life I was able to live. I was having the time of my life, but there was still a lot of work left to do in the Kotar Desert before I could return to Bastionville for good. Suddenly, a loud squawk echoed through the air above our heads. I glanced upward with a frown, and I was just in time to see a strange beast fly out of the sky toward me. It had tentacle arms like an octopus, giant wings like a bat, and the body of a monkey. What the actual fuck? Was I in Oz or something?